You're listening to Channel Radio.
It's 1 o'clock.
Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello.
Hello. I had a great journey in today. And your
Yeah, well, you would. I gave you after 14 years, Jess, 14 years we've worked together. Every time she gets lost coming to the studio. So eventually last week I drew her a map. And she found her way here.
Yeah. Well, I found your way here.
You found my way here.
Via Tenterden and all sorts of other places.
And it worked, didn't it?
Normally.
And you got here on time.
I did. But normally, you see, I blame the old Brock operation. All those lorries.
Yeah.
They've just, you know, changed my whole life.
No, the big problem was you follow your sat-nav.
Yeah, Mercedes sat-nav is
and
bad.
And you've got a German sat-nav. They're rubbish. That's why they lost the war.
I know.
They couldn't find anywhere in the UK. They couldn't invade. They had sat-navs that didn't work.
They are, you know, just bring back the old Tom-Tom. That's what I say. I used to have it
No.
Tom-Tom was great.
No.
You're a bit prickly about that.
I'm prickly about Tom-Toms.
Yeah. So. You were asked to invest in that, weren't you?
Yeah.
And what did you say?
No.
Is it something you regret?
Yes.
Bit like me with the AstraZeneca, really.
No, I think it's worse.
Really?
I could have owned 20% of TomTom for not very much money.
Well, you know what? I would like my Mercedes.
I could be Elon Musk now.
You could
I could be buying Facebook and stuff.
You could be going to the moon in a little rocket.
No, I wouldn't want to do that. I'd much rather buy Facebook.
What was it? 41 million? Billion? 41 million?
43 billion. 43
billion. 43 billion,
yeah.
Even.
Yeah.
What's he going to do with it, do you reckon?
Make it better.
I've already noticed that people that I was following that were banned and censored, and who talk sense, respected doctors, are back.
Well, interestingly, you've got lots of people, as normal on social media, that are preempting what they think is going to happen by crying their eyes out and saying this isn't fair and it shouldn't be allowed and all the rest of that nonsense.
Yeah.
When they don't know what he's going to do, all he's said is two things. He's not going to allow people to – he's going to try and get rid of all the bots, which everybody agrees with.
Yeah.
Why would you have all these silly spam bots?
Exactly.
He's going to get rid of that. He's going to make it so he knows who everybody is. So that it, although you won't necessarily
so
identify –
So he'll verify them.
Well, kind of. Every account will have a person behind it that's a known person to them rather than just anonymous accounts. Mm. That doesn't mean to say that he's going to make every account
have a blue tick.
Have a blue tick or
that
anything like that.
Happen.
And then he just said he was going to allow freedom of speech. And that seems to have sent everybody into a spin going, you can't allow freedom of speech. People will say things I don't want to hear.
We've got esteemed doctors like Dr. Anthony Hilton, a very well-known cardiologist.
But
he'll say something that's a BBC verified story and it will get banned.
Exactly.
It's bonkers.
And the other thing he's agreed to do is to open up transparently the algorithm. And that's the thing that everybody's angry about. You know the problems you had.
Yeah.
Jules got suspended from Twitter because she posted a tweet with a picture of two people drinking flutes of champagne and she went, chink, chink, and Twitter banned her for racism.
It's ridiculous. Absolutely spotty. And every time I put something on Facebook, so I'll put my own verified story about my AstraZeneca damage, and underneath Facebook will put a footer every time to find out about COVID vaccines, to find out. So they just take over my whole Facebook thing.
Well, what Musk has said is that he's going to make the algorithm transparent so that everybody knows what it is, so that you can tell. And
And the shadowing, will you do anything about the shadowing?
Well, that's what all the algorithm's about. So you can see what the algorithm's doing.
Yeah.
You know, because one of the problems with old Twitter is that they never explained why they suspended you.
No.
Or they came up with some cock and bull story that wasn't true, yeah, as a reason for suspending
you. Me with my chink. Well, I couldn't argue
it. And also, their terms of service were very clear. They strictly prohibit putting people's home address on Twitter. And somebody did that to me. They posted my home address. And I reported it to Twitter and they went, nah, that's fine.
Really?
I went, really? How did you work that out? And then you never hear from them again because they just don't talk to you.
It's not a conversation.
So all he's agreed to do so far is be more transparent. Whether he is and what the outcome of that is, who knows at this time. But it's funny watching everybody go into meltdown.
It is. Paul, I was going to ask you a very sensible question.
Yeah, go on.
Who might our sponsor be?
This week we're pleased to be sponsored by Talis IFA, the pensions and investment people based in Ashford.
We've had quite a few accountants and investment people on lately, haven't we? We're all trying to get our house in order.
We've had them on as guests, but these guys are annual sponsors. So that's why, you know, so... Telford's accountants, Lock Associates, and Talis IFA are all annual sponsors, as are the lovely folks that we do social media.
Yeah. And we have a High Street special for you listeners today. So it's one that I know that you're all very fond of and it's close to your heart. So we'd love to know about your High Street, how it's evolving. Are you saddened by what you're seeing with some shops closing, as I have been in Canterbury? Are you supporting your local indie shops? We'd love to hear from you. Just use the BBunker hashtag.
Yep. So we're going to be talking about the High Street and town centres and all things associated with that. We've got a fantastic guest in the studio that we're going to be hearing from in the second part of the show, the lovely Jess Gibson from the Tunbridge Card. Jess, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
And she's come all the way from...
Tunbridge.
Through the roadworks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Skipping past the Brock, whatever it is, Operation Brock.
Is that still in place, Operation Brock?
I don't know. But there's an awful lot of haulage on the roads, I noticed.
One of the ferries has now been allowed back into service, hasn't it? One of the P&O ferries. Yeah.
You should have played ferry across the Mersey.
I could have done. How do you know I'm not going to?
Well, I don't know.
You don't know what my cheesy tunage is going to be, do you?
I have no idea what your cheesy tunage
is. No, you tried to predict it, didn't you?
I did.
And it's not ferry across the Mersey.
Well, I know.
For two reasons. One, we're not talking about ferries. And two, it's the English Channel, not the Mersey.
And also, Jerry and the Pacemakers aren't on the show today.
No, they're not.
Possibly.
No.
I used to like that. Look what I've brought in.
A poncho.
Yeah, but what poncho?
It's a poncho from Shore 43 in Whitstable High Street.
Lovely Nick.
I know, I can tell.
Yeah. So that's what we get when we shop indie. We find lovely colours and...
Don't be fooled by this, listener. She's a blagger.
Why? I've got one in every colour from Nick.
I know you have.
Bright blue. In fact, we did a vote, didn't we, with the listeners? And I think they voted the blue was their favourite.
It was a favourite, yeah. And you didn't like that because you prefer the orange one.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, but that happens all the time, doesn't it? It's that old joke where your mum buys you two ties for Christmas, a blue one and a red one, and you put the blue one on and she goes, what's wrong with the red one then?
Yeah. You can't win. I was actually looking at a tweet from someone that was on our show a while back, and I've lost her now. Elaine, do you remember the colour?
Elaine Evans.
You have a memory like an elephant, Paul Andrews. I keep saying that.
Yeah.
But she was tweeting about colour, and I remember when she was on the show. I think we had to do a Zoom, didn't we, that time because of the old C word?
Yeah, we were.
We were zooming.
Locked down. Yeah.
But she would approve of my orange. I think she would.
Are you an autumnal colour then?
I don't know what I am. I've never had my colours done, but I naturally...
Really?
No, I naturally wear red, purple. I very rarely wear these sensible colours. I just put this on because it's quite warm. It's thick. As the studio can be a bit breezy, can't it? And I've got a little vest on, of course. I always wear a little vest because it's quite cold in here, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're a blue person. You're always wearing blue, aren't you?
Yeah.
But you have got that new sweatshirt that... the lovely Amanda bought you. That's a very different colour to what you normally wear. I can't remember the colour, but was it pink?
Sweatshirt. She bought me a sweatshirt.
She bought you a sporty hoodie thing.
No. That's a Kenwood Trust. The jade green one.
No, you had another one, didn't you? Didn't Amanda buy you something or a top?
She probably bought me a top.
That's not your usual colour, anyway.
She probably bought me a top. Oh no, she bought me a burgundy top.
No, it's not burgundy. I'll have to ask her because she'll remember.
Yeah, no, she hasn't bought me a hoodie.
I know that at one stage, you, when somebody rummaged through your wardrobe, you had about 58 navy shirts or blue
shirts. No, I had 64. I had one of these people that does audit your wardrobe and select your colours.
Yeah.
And they decided that 64 blue shirts was a little bit OTT. And they suggested that I should not buy any more blue shirts.
It's a bit Simon Cowell, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the problem is I then went out and saw the most gorgeous blue shirt and I had to buy it. So that took it up to 65.
Well, my new husband yesterday had a sort of a dark green T-shirt on because he dresses down now, you know, does all these Zoom calls and, you know, he's dressed down. But he looked really fetching in dark green and I said to him, you should wear that colour more
Robin
often.
Hood.
Yeah. Yeah, little thigh-length boots on.
Yeah,
and an arrow.
And tights. Yeah.
See where I'm going? Little feather in his cap.
Yeah. Slap me old leg. Yeah.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Yeah.
We've gone a bit Dame pantomime.
Yeah, exactly.
We?
Yeah.
I think he was a good guy, don't you, Robin Hood?
Sorry, how did we get on to that?
I think he was it, because he robbed from the rich and gave to the poor.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Like the opposite of Marie Antoinette, who said, let them eat cake.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'll tell you what.
I'll tell you what, though.
One of my favourite heroes is Willikin of the Weald.
Who's that?
I bet you've never heard of Willikin of the Weald.
No, but then I'm a lot younger than you.
Well, unlike Robin Hood, he is actually a bona fide historical character.
What's his name?
Willikin of the Weald.
And he's Wealdish, so Kentish, is
he? He came from Tenston. Yeah,
really?
Well, Rolvenden. Yeah.
Was it your uncle?
No. Angus might punch me for this. Angus is an author that writes historical novels. Yeah. What I read a lot, he wrote a series of novels about Robin Hood. But at one point, this Willikin of the Weald turned up in it. And
how did he dress? Did he wear little leather boots and tights and little?
Yeah,
cap?
Quite probably.
In a Wealden way.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the dates. 11 something.
1066.
Yeah, well, no, it's 11th, 12th century. Anyway, he was a real historical character, and basically, the story of Robin Hood is much more
Hoodish.
Akin to what he was up to, because he was killing Frenchmen. Because it was at the time. We'd been invaded by France.
Okay.
And through the Weald of Kent, he was ambushing them, stealing their money and their horses and stuff. Anyway, how do we get onto that?
I don't know. Do you
my
know?
History lesson for the
I know. I've just watched our lovely guest Jess. You know, looking at us, wondering what on earth she's come into.
Yeah.
As we get that face on most of our guests,
we
actually,
do. Yeah,
rather...
a lot of them head for the door, but which is why we got it locked.
Yeah,
I can't get out.
She's locked in.
No,
she's
locked in.
Yeah. Anyway, so we know who the sponsor is.
Yeah.
And we'd love to hear from you. Please use the at VanillaWeb at Jules Serkin and the B Bunker hashtag. We'll get you noticed and we'll hear you. And we'd love to hear what you're up to.
I'm going to read some tweets. But for the last week or so, you've had dozens and dozens of tweets about the subject, haven't you?
Gosh, yes. I put that little tweet up. I'll find it in a minute. Asking, I can't remember what I asked, you know, about your local.
You asked country. About people's usage of independent shops in their high street. And we got hundreds, literally hundreds of people.
Yeah.
But I'm going to read this tweet.
Maybe Martin, it was my most sensible tweet I've ever done in 58 years.
I know. Martin Reeves, the collector's buddy. Yes, please. Could I have a Business Bunker shout out, please? Today's show about the high street will be very interesting listening, and I'll be tuning in. Martin used to be involved in charity shops, so I guess he has a real interest because for a long time in the high street, half the high street was a charity shop, really, wasn't it? But nowadays, Martin runs a thing called Collector's Buddy, in which he buys and sells collectibles, and the profit he makes, he donates to charity.
Fabulous. I must dig out my Yogi Bear for him to have a look at.
Boo-boo.
Going back to that tweet.
It's so, smarter than the average bear.
Well, I couldn't find a picture of my high street, although I found some. Did you see yesterday I did some nice little high street ones?
Mm.
Did you notice?
I did, yeah.
But when I
noticed your breakfast this morning as well. That was a bit frugal for you, wasn't it?
It was. You know why? Because I'm taking these weird herbs at the moment from a doctor.
Really?
That somebody sent me. I just take anything. They are...
Are you smoking it?
No, it's a little... They're... It's a little tincture. It's a tincture, Paul Andrews.
It's a tincture.
Yeah, it's a tincture.
Right. Okay.
And a doctor sent it to me, and it's for vaccine detox. And it's got about 15 different herbs in, but I have to take it on an empty stomach in water, and it's pretty foul.
Right.
And so I said to my new husband, I was going to do a smoothie, and then I said, actually, I don't fancy a smoothie. I feel a bit... that was a green face I just did.
All right.
Listener can't see that. So he did me a little bacon and egg and that.
And mushrooms.
But it was quite frugal for me, you're right.
It was.
Yeah. There's normally a couple of haunches of venison.
Exactly, yeah.
You didn't send me a picture of yours.
I didn't, no, because I'd eaten it.
But you had chorizo. Chorizo.
I had chorizo in mine.
Lovely.
Yeah, because on Tuesdays I have brunch before I come out because it's the only food I have until about 9 o'clock tonight.
Yeah.
So I had poached eggs and bacon and chorizo.
Delicious. Mm. And what's the bacon from your local butcher?
No, it's Tesco's.
Oh, come on. We're doing a high street special.
I know, but I'm not lying.
Just lie. I mean, that's terrible to say that you went to Tesco.
Why? That's where I get my shopping.
No. So, do you want to know where my bacon came from?
Yeah, go on.
Okay. So, as you know... it was a little pig. As you know, I've had a Riverford delivery. I used to do their PR years ago. So, I've had them for about 20 years, a little veg box every week, which is all seasonal. Mm. So, you know, now we're on the asparagus. I'm getting asparagus. Before that, I was getting wild garlic, but that's just coming to the end of the season. But I now get meat. Now the kids have left home. I get my little bacon from them because I can afford it, you know.
Right. Well, we've been buying meat from that mob in Aberdeen.
Oh, yeah. Donald Russell.
That's him.
Yeah. And it wasn't mushy.
What?
It wasn't mushy. My mum cooked us a lamb because it was frozen, wasn't it? My mum cooked us a lamb from Donald Russell. And me and the new husband, it was a bit mushy.
Well, she let
just the frozen lamb.
She let it partially defrost before she cooked it.
Something like that. Yeah, I don't know. But it's very good, very good meat. I do agree.
Yeah.
But anyway, as you did ask, the bacon, we scoffed it all at the weekend. We ran out. So my new husband cycled on his bicyclette to our local butcher, Sermons, in the High Street, Tankton High Street.
Cool.
He also got some black pudding.
Oh, I like a bit of black pudding.
Black pudding.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very pleasant. And some sausages.
Cool.
Didn't have them.
Why?
Because gluteny.
All right.
Yeah.
Athelbrey have been on.
Okay.
Vanilla Web, Jill Sirkin. Could we have a Business Bunker shout out? Our autumn management programme is now full for the mornings, but don't fret. We're putting on an afternoon programme at DeMelza House Hospice Training Room from 1 till 4pm every 2 weeks for the 9 modules of the management training programme. If you want to find out more about it, drop them an email, fran@athelbrey.co.uk. fran@athelbrey.co.uk.
And it's interesting, Paul Andrews, because it just shows with Twitter, you know, that tweet I put out about 6-7 days ago, it's got loads of answers that I hadn't seen.
I've just gone
on it. Yeah. And so Athelbrey have actually tweeted in on that. So I sent a little picture of my brill. That was
of your what?
My brill.
Your brill?
Yeah, look.
Oh, your fish.
My
brill. I saw that, yeah.
My brill on the grill.
Yeah.
Which I did. And so Athelbrey have tweeted into that. I was asking about High Street. Mm. They say their local butchers, Hammonds in Mapfield, are superb. They have a great range of veg, deli and dairy as well. Mm. Kent Butcher of the Year 2020. And you're right. Oh, sorry. They're right in the heart of the village and highly supportive of local producers. Downside is we need to drive to them, but worth it. Been around since 1860.
Blimey.
It's a very old butcher.
That's 10 to 7 last night.
I bet he hasn't got his own teeth. He's been around since 1860.
Yeah, it's knocking on.
He'll have gums.
Yeah.
And what they've done, Paul Andrews, they put a lovely little
drawing
sketch
of it.
Yeah,
that's nice.
It must have been up all night. And then Booker Wyatt, the lovely.
Catherine.
Catherine, thank you for that, says she goes to her local High Street as often as she can. And then, it's going on forever. I didn't realise. Yeah. Rob Allsworth, my chef friend. He says the good shed was buzzing today, even with the road closures. Some tasty treats from Patriana and a fantastic baked goods from the Little Sugar Bakery. And
just while we're talking about Rob, Rob Allsworth, the chef, I saw a report yesterday that some places are now paying up to $85,000 a year with a 5K signing on bonus to get chefs.
Oh, you cannot get them.
You can't get them for love nor money.
Well, Good Shed, as you know, my favourite happy place in Canterbury, their looks like they're going to close their garden, which everybody was wild about, you know, through COVID, sitting outside and eating, because they haven't got the staff to service the garden. They're losing their lovely chef Raphael. He's opening his own restaurant in Westgate. You'll have to join me and we'll try it out. So they're looking, they've got a new chef starting, but they've got no staff because the staff are going with Raphael. So they're looking for a sous chef, 36 grand a year, plus tips. Can't get one.
It's really,
what are we going to do?
It's really difficult. I don't know.
They're not serving breakfast anymore in the restaurant because they've got no staff to do
that's
that.
It's crazy.
It is. It's bananas.
Crazy stuff.
Bob Beattie tweeted in on the little High Street tweet that I did 5 days ago, and he says mainly for him, it's the parking that puts him off.
I think there was a huge consensus around that.
Yeah.
That most town centres are put off by either the lack of parking or the cost of parking, or a combination of the two. And no matter how many times we talk, and we do, Jess, we talk quite often to local councillors in various towns and cities around Kent, and they all try to argue about this. They all go, no, 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 it's not the problem that you think it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Because if you're paying $3.40 an hour, I think it's $2.40 an hour now.
Cost me 18 quid to park at work for the day.
And if you want to meet someone for lunch or coffee, and you're constantly thinking, right, that's just been 6 quid, that's just been 8 quid.
Yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm putting a little Bee Bunker hashtag on some of these so that you can see them. But Tracy, the lovely Tazy 64, who's going to be listening in later, I believe she's on a meeting at the moment, she says, I like to get lovely cards from my local indie shop and always go for an independent cafe, coffee shop over a big brand. I still try and spend at least £5 every week in my corner shop, which is literally 10 seconds from me. So she can hop round in her PJs.
Actually, I lied. I actually lied.
About Robin Hood?
No, about the bacon. I didn't get it at Tesco's. I got it at Mel's shop around the clock in St Michael's.
Well, there you are. Now you've gone up
but
in
my
But
he's not a butcher,
steam.
Though.
Yeah, I know, but he's a indie.
He's an indie shop. He's just sold the fish and chip shop next door.
What's that going to be now?
A fish and chip shop.
Okay.
He just sold it to somebody else. It's now called TN30 Fish and Chips.
Okay. Greek?
No, it's fish and chips.
Are there little Greeks that run it?
No, no. The Greeks run the Greek restaurant and the Turks run the Turkish
we
restaurant.
We had a kebab actually at the weekend. I thought of you. It was very pleasant from our local kebab shop.
I had a kebab on Friday night.
We had a lot of chilli sauce on ours and garlic sauce and all sorts.
While I was waiting to collect it, Mustafa Dennis, who owns both Oscar's, the restaurant, and the Tenterton Grill Takeaway in Tenterton, he was feeding me chilli peppers while I was waiting for me.
Feeding you?
Yeah. He was throwing me peppers.
Like you're some sort of ostrich or something.
Yeah, exactly. It was lovely. And everybody else in the shop was going, oh, you can't eat those raw like that. I'm going, yeah.
What colour were they?
Green. I'm a fourth one.
But you still can't compare them with the Chinese ones that I bought you the street.
The Chinese chilli sauce that you poisoned me with. No, that is
live
true.
On air. When you went sort of produce colour.
Yeah.
Is that colour?
She produced this jar and she said, you like hot things, don't you? I go, yeah, I do. She said, have a spoonful of that. And I took a spoonful of that.
Live on air.
It blew my head off. I was live on air. I couldn't speak for a month. I said, what is it? And she said, I got it off a street trader in Wuhan. I'm going, what? What? It's bat. It's bat and chilli or something.
It was Hong Kong. It's Hong Kong. Yeah, Hong Kong's fine. Yeah, Lexi Consulting. What puts her off the High Street? She says, in two words, what puts me off going into Ashford Town Centre? Traffic, parking. But also, there's no proper local shops left there anyway. That's really sad. So that's Alexi. You can follow her, Allexi Consults. She's an award-winning business consultant.
That's Linda Garcia.
It is.
Yeah.
Who I frequent with. But she's an award-winning business consultant, bringing 30 years of global productivity expertise at lovely SMEs. Okay. And you can find her on Alexi. I never say it right.
Alexi.
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 I say it like a Liverpudlian.
Yeah, it's Alexi.
Alexi. Allexi.co.uk. She's got a lovely little husband as well that I like too.
Yeah, Mario. Right, anyway, enough.
Well, it's going on.
No, enough.
I'll tell you after.
I'm going to do Cheesy Tunage.
All right, what
and
you got?
You got to name this tune, and it's an old one.
Oh, God, that's Petula Clark Downtown.
It is indeed.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know. Downtown, just listen to the music of the traffic in
brighter there. You can't forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. So go downtown, things will be great when you're downtown. No final place for sure, downtown. Everything's waiting for you. Don't hang around and let your problems surround you. There are movie shows downtown. Maybe you know some little places to go to where they never close downtown. Just listen to the rhythm of a gentle bossa nova. You'll be dancing with them too before the night is over. Happy again. The lights are much brighter there. You can't forget all your troubles.
Hey, Petula Clark there.
Great tunage.
Hey, what?
Great tunage.
You named it before she even started singing. I was impressed with that.
It's a sign of a misspent youth. I don't know how I do it, but it's a little bit worrying.
A misspent youth? What were you doing when you were four?
I don't know, listening to records. My mum and dad were always playing records. Yeah,
Downtown, that came out about 1963, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you were about 20 by then, weren't
but
you?
But I still play a lot of 60s stuff.
Do you?
I was not 21 then, thank you very much.
You sure?
Yeah. Well. But, yeah, I still play a lot of 60s stuff, don't you?
No.
You're not very musical.
I'm not a big music person. Because my hearing's so bad, I just don't bother.
What?
Who said that? I'll tell you what I have been doing.
Beg your pardon?
I've been watching replays of Plebs.
What's that?
It was a comedy programme, a TV comedy programme about Romans. Have you not? It's really funny.
Is it?
Yeah.
I watched last night, or the last couple of nights, I watched Behind Her Eyes. It's a Netflix thing.
Behind her what?
Behind Her Eyes.
Oh, eyes.
But what I would say about Netflix is, though, I mean, there's some good stuff, but I don't know what you think, Jess, because you've got four young boys. The sex scenes, they're in everything now, and I think... I don't want to watch this, you know. I wouldn't want to watch it with my mum, you know, if I have my mum round. I don't really want to watch it with my new husband either. Like, they put sex scenes into everything now, and I think it makes me appreciate more the kind of TV that we used to have and the standards. Because I was thinking about it, was it really necessary to put these, you know, bonk scenes in? And look at Bridgerton. You know, that's why everybody, I find it really hammy, Bridgerton.
But series two, they've removed all the raunchiness, haven't they?
Have they?
Romance-led.
Okay, I found Bridgerton really hammy, I have to say. I like Downton Abbey, love it, watched it a lot, but I found Bridgerton a little bit contrived, a little bit hammy. Mm. What do you think?
I did too, but I persevered and I've watched both series.
Oh, have you?
Yes.
Okay.
I have seen some. Amanda has it on. I never watch television apart from...
I like the costumes and I like the scenery, but I'm not sure about the whole twinkly bit.
I only watch sport or... comedy shows that I have on my iPad,
but I'm just finding the addition of sex to everything that you watch is just Too much.
So I've got all this ahead of me. My kids are primary school age, and the four boys, they're at the stage where they can't even bear the hint of romance. Yeah. If even cartoon characters look at each other that same way, all four dive behind the sofa. Yeah. It's just disgusting.
Or if you kiss your husband, do they sort of go,
they run out of the room. Like a horror movie. Long may that continue.
Well, I was watching, it was very good, Behind Her Eyes. I was watching it, but I just said to my new husband, why are we having to watch them? It's like porn, you know, literally.
Right.
Moving on top, of course.
I need you to read that email because we've got a long recorded interview to play next.
Well, we've had a former Dragon's Den star, Theo Paphitis.
Yeah. Paphitis. That's him. Yeah.
Insists people have not fallen out of love with the high street, but says retailers need to ensure the service they offer gets them off the sofa and into the store. He's chairman of stationery chain Ryman, hardware retailer Robert Dias, lingerie chain Boo Avenue, and the London-based art supply store, the London Graphic Centre, all under the Theo Paphitis Retail Group umbrella. So he's got a lot of chains. I didn't know that.
Okay, let's hear this interview.
I was going to tell you about his retail portfolio bit.
We need to crack on because we're going to miss the news already anyway.
Well, it does say it's scattered across Kent.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's hear what Nick and Graham had to say, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, welcome to the Business Bunker Show. We're talking today to a number of people about high streets retail, place changing, and so on and so forth. So it's a pleasure to welcome, in the first instance, for the very first time onto the show, Mr. Nick Grossmark. Nick, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. It's his second time.
Second time, actually.
Yeah, it is, actually, isn't it? Yeah, I tried to wipe the first time from my memory, not from anything that Nick did, but just because you kept going on about it, Jules. So we'll gloss over that. Nick is the owner of a wonderful retail store in Whitstable, but he's also a retail guru and fashion guru. With a long experience in those industries.
If you remember, Paul, Nick opened his lovely shop, Whitstable High Street, just before, I think it was the first lockdown, wasn't it, Nick?
It was. We were open basically for 3 weeks and then we closed.
Yeah, I remember that. And it's amazing. And your testament to the fact that you are still trading when a lot of businesses kind of just couldn't handle that. So welcome back, Nick. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show. Of course, Graham is an old friend of the show, and we've talked to Graham many times on the show. Graham is known as the place changer, and he is a specialist in place changing and the future of the high street. So, Graham, welcome back onto the show. Thank you for joining us.
Well, it's a pleasure, Paul. Thank you very much. And I'm just thinking, what a lovely poncho you're wearing.
It's gorgeous, isn't it? You know that Nick Grossmark's shawl, Whitstable, I staggered upon it one day. I think I'd had a long lunch.
It's number 43 Whitstable High Street, in case you're wondering, Jules.
Yeah.
I think I tumbled out of
Graham. You know Whitstable is famous for its little individual shops and we all love. I staggered out of Samphire, I think. I'd had a lunch in Samphire, which is a great little restaurant.
When you say staggered...
Yes,
yeah, she's staggered. Yeah, oh, without a doubt. She was drunk. There's no doubt about it.
Paul has been on one of my lunches of an occasion, haven't you, Paul?
I tell you what, I went to lunch with her and her new husband once in Wheelers in Whitstable. And we got there around about 12 o'clock for lunch. And we left just after 6 p.m. And then, we went to the Neptune. And at about 2 a.m., I thought, you know what, I want to go home because I'm teetotal. And by then, Jules had consumed an entire crate of Prosecco, at least 25 gin and tonics, and about 8 pints of beer. And she was starting to dance in the Neptune at 2 a.m. And I just thought, you know what, I can't handle this anymore. And I went home.
To be fair, Paul, the Neptune is a free house, is it not? And so therefore it's a small business. So
absolutely.
We like supporting
And Jules kept it in business.
Yeah,
own.
I was jiving, as I remember. So I staggered out of the Sandpoint, had a little lunch, and I just saw this amazing window display. And I would say about Nick, he's incredibly creative. He's a totally creative. I'm dying to see his house because I'm sure it's amazing too, interior design. But every week that window draws you in. There's colour and, there's, you know, it's just beautifully stylish. And then you go inside and there's beautiful bags, bright colours, gorgeous. Lifts the spirits, I would say.
It's interesting you say that, Jules, because that is one of the benefits of independent retail outlets on the high street, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, we can all, I've been, so funny enough, I've been trying to buy some clothes this afternoon. I've been trying to buy a blazer, and I've been sat here doing it all over the internet, and you can't really tell the quality of anything. You've got no idea whether it will fit or not. And, you know, there's no inspiration. But with a shop like Shaw, it's full of inspiration, isn't it? Because, like you, you go out not intending to buy anything, and you go, oh, look at that. That's lovely. And all of a sudden, you're sucked into the store and looking at what's there.
Nick, you would find Paul Andrews a blazer, wouldn't you?
I would indeed, yeah. But I agree with you in terms of, you know, I'm old school as well. I like to touch, feel, you know, it's tactile. I want to go into a shop, I want to see something, try it on and feel good. And you know, and walk out and be happy. So I think, you know, it was very, you know, obviously very disappointing when we had to close after the first 3 weeks, because we had so much interest and we were trying to do something different from the rest of the town in terms of the, as you say, the whole colour thing. And obviously my background, I'm fortunate enough that I can do this thing, and you know, make something look attractive that draws people in, as you say.
No, absolutely. Okay, Graham, let's come to you. Let's kick this whole thing off. I mean, we've talked quite a few times over the years about the high street and what's happening to it. Of course, the last 2 years, we really couldn't predict how much it would accelerate problems with the high street. But give us an overview from your point of view of where you see things in general now.
Well, in where we are is not in any way, shape or form where we were, but what we are, where we are is we have a lot more Nick Grossmarks about now who are looking at creating the experience that people want, rather than taking producing more of the same. The big difference, of course, over this period has been the demise of some of the big chains, leaving large voids very often in malls and shopping centres, which creates a slightly different issue about what do you do with stuff of that size. And people like me are coming up with good ideas all the time. People like me, not me. no, seriously, we are... but. The streets themselves are recovering, and I'm delighted to say that they are in the main. I've just been reading on a certain local website of a news organisation who shall remain nameless, Kent Online, and about Margate. Now, I was in Margate a few months back for the High Street Task Force. And if you take, for example, I was in Margate as a manager for Christchurch University back in the late 20th century. Oh, my God. Late 20th century. And the beginning of the
100 years ago. 100 years ago, Graham.
N66.
And I was looking after the regeneration programme then with the Government Office for the South East. And there's no doubt about it that people are stimulated into making some really good decisions. And I think that you know, let's be honest, who thought Margate would recover? yep. quite honestly. And well, I did, because obviously I have great faith in where I...
But Graham, look at the food outlets in Margate are amazing. It's really coming across now. You know, you've got, was it GB Pizza and some really good eateries there, haven't you?
And that's what's going to be a feature of town centres, is going to be the diversity of what's coming forward, and it is coming forward.
Yeah.
If I can just not monopolise this, but I'll just go on a little further. An organisation that I know of that looks after various public funds to go into community organisations. They are just beginning to start a new fund so that charitable or community organisations can actually purchase real estate, and it will help them to purchase real estate. There is no better way to move a town forward than have ownership about what's going on. And that's it. Yeah.
Margate got that huge grant recently, didn't they, last year?
Yes. Yeah. And I would say that one of the things that I have a criticism of is that whilst it's great that there is lots of money coming through, it would be nice if it all conformed to the same rules and they didn't have to keep going back and forth and having to keep bidding for it. But it's great that they've got it, and I'm really pleased. They've got that. And I think there's a couple of things they've got money from, and I'm delighted for them. And they got our advice as well, for nothing, from the High Street Task Force. Right.
I think everyone's right. You know, the High Street has changed, and there is a move towards entertainment, food and leisure in High Street, which is a good thing. But there's still a fantastic spot for shops like Nick's, which is a unique independent shop. I just want to – I don't actually own the premises. I rent the premises, but I have two High Street locations, one in Maidstone, one in Canterbury, although I'm not a retailer. And I have my issues with things that make business difficult. From your point of view, Nick, how do you see things? You run this fabulous shop in, and Whitstable's a great place because it has good footfall, because it, especially in spring and summer, because it's a well-known tourist destination. How do you find business in general, though, with the shop now that you can actually open it?
Well, to be honest, I mean, I think there's been so much going on in the news, obviously, with people, you know, people being strapped for cash, that they don't know what their fuel bills are going to be, their electricity, gas, all those kind of things. So there is that issue where they're still thinking twice about that top or that skirt or that dress. But, you know, saying that, we've had such great response since we've reopened from the, you know, the local people, which is amazing. We're not just relying on the tourists, although we love them, obviously, but you know, I'm glad to say that we are still, you know, we're building it and becoming more recognized as, you know, something different on the High Street, which I think is really important, that we're almost going, it's like going old school again, where you went to a town and you just saw lots of individuality, which I think is really crucial to somewhere like Whitstable and Margate and Ramsgate, all those kind of places, Deal, which is, you know, a beautiful place, but so different. And I think the diversity down here, you know, it's just something else that should, you know, should be built on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like so many things, isn't it? Things come in cycles, and we get very excited about technology and how you can link everything together and you can do everything without getting out of bed and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But then eventually it comes around full circle again, where people go, wouldn't it just be nice to go into a shop and feel the width of something and just to look at it and try it on before I buy it? And I think that's going to come back. I mean,
and talk to someone.
Yeah. My background is in banking and in banking technology, but there is a very well-known bank that has taken, and I'm not lying about this, for their very special customers, they actually hand write the statements in ink on parchment. Yeah.
Is that Coutts?
It is, in fact, the Queen's Bank Coutts. Yeah. But, you know, so those kind of things come around again, don't they? And it was interesting what Graham was saying, and I'll come to Graham in a moment. My partner Amanda went shopping in Bluewater last Saturday, and she said it was half empty for a Saturday, and there were loads and loads and loads of empty shops.
Yeah, it's soulless. I mean, I haven't been to Bluewater for about 2 years, but for me, a shopping mall, I go in and I want to kill myself the minute I'm in there. I just feel this wave of exhaustion coming on me. It's just not...
I mean, the shopping malls have one big benefit, as far as I can see, and we've argued about this so often.
I know what you're going to say. Media,
which is, and you know, and as a businessman, it's the same problem I've had all the time. Is car parking in city centres and towns. Now, Ashford, where Graham is from, is actually pretty good. Yeah, they've got reasonable car parking charges and a lot of car parking space. Canterbury, no. Sorry, it's just not good enough. And Nick,
And Whitstable, it goes, you know, when they put the charges up already.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's £2.40 an hour.
Yeah.
Well, by the time you've spent you've gone petrol to get here, you've then got to park, you're then going to eat, you're then, you know, it's an expensive day out.
Yeah, it's the same in Tankerton High Street. I'm always telling Neil Baker, you know, the local councillor, because if I want to drive to Tankerton, I've only got an hour on there for free parking. But if I go to the vets, the bakers, the butchers and the flower shop and then have a coffee, that's over an hour.
Well, if I go to my office in Canterbury, it costs me £18 to park for the day, which is just unsustainable.
So, but just to pick up on that, Paul, you know, you say that Whitstable gets good footfall, and I recognise that. I've tried to ride my bike down the high street on a Saturday and get pushed over by people trying to cross the road in front of me, but that's neither here nor there. But seriously, they've got to be doing something right for people to want to come and pay that surcharge for car parking. You know, I've been, and I go to a lot of towns, you'll appreciate that, I'm sure, and I've been to towns where there is free car parking and there's tumbleweed blowing down the street.
Yeah.
If you haven't got the right product... and if you haven't got the right people driving what you're doing, then you are going to struggle. And Nick's saying about experience, you know, it's the experience of going shopping. It's the fun. It's what you want to do. It's not just going there because you've got to. Yeah. You know, the kids have got to have new shoes, so I've got to go there. Because they'll just go to Sainsbury's, to upstairs at Sainsbury's or something, you know, and get the kids' shoes. You can tell how long it is since I bought kids' shoes.
No, but you're absolutely right. Of course, you know, you've got to want to go somewhere. And if you want to go somewhere, it's going to be, you know, a shortage of space because I can't fit everyone in. I think it's a balance, though. Yeah, Nick?
But I think it's also about the discovery of somewhere that, you know, maybe there hasn't been before and it's finding something completely different. And I love Whitstable for that reason. You know, there are so many individual brands here, apart from, you know, the bigger ones. But the bigger ones draw people in too. I think we all sit in harmony at this point. You know, I'm on the traders chats and everyone's so welcoming and to anyone new and can I help you with this? And if you've got that, etc. I just think there's a really good community spirit here. And I hope there is in the other towns as well.
So, Nick, you have a WhatsApp group, don't you, in the high street?
Yeah. Yeah, it's called Traders Chats. So Traders Chats. So you basically sign up for it and then everybody that puts anything out there, you get to hear about. So it could be that someone, you know, the other day, it's like someone, I've got till rolls. Anyone want them? You know, in fact, I'd probably do the same because I've got the wrong ones. But no, it's all stuff like that. And when all the Christmas lights were going up, there was so much of involvement from everyone with their help of, trying, you know, getting those lights ready so they could be put up, etc. There were, you know, there were issues, but I think it was a teething thing, and every year it will just get better and better.
Sure.
And of course, what you're going to find is that what Nick has just just really put well, is that to make towns work well, everybody's got to be playing on the same team.
Absolutely.
And the team has got to have a good captain or a good manager. Yeah. And that will coordinate things so that they work properly, and the people, local people, own their own, what's going on in their own town.
Yeah.
And we won't finish up with what Bill Grimsey, my old mate, calls clone towns.
Yeah.
There was a time, if you went to Maidstone or Canterbury or Ashford, you could tell what was going to be in the high street. Now you can't. You've got to go and explore. And explore is what Nick was saying.
Absolutely. I live in Tenterton, and we are incredibly lucky. We have a wonderful high street. And the funny thing is, the stores that we lost were the chains for the most part. But they've quickly filled up with independent shops and eateries and what have you. And we've had, considering the last 2 years, we've had a fair amount of expansion in the last 6 months in Tenterton of shops being taken over. My only beef about retail space is it's still too high in terms of rental costs.
I was going to ask Nick what your rates and rental costs, have they gone up with the new tallies?
No, the rates haven't at all. And no, the rent either. No.
Phew.
No,
that's the wrong script, Nick. You've got to say business rates are too high.
Well, they are too high. They just haven't gone up any higher at the moment.
I think Canterbury is much higher, isn't it? Because
in Whitstable, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the last time I went to Canterbury, I was sad because there were people sleeping in doorways, which is awful. There were tents put up in doorways for homeless. And boarded up shops, like your Amanda said, lots of boarded up shops. We've lost Debenhams, we've lost Nason's, there's Fenwick's. If you go into Fenwick's and you ask for something, they'll go and look for it. You know, if you've got a size, whatever.
But that department store model is the forerunner of the Mao model. And we've just, you know, even the modern Mao model is starting to suffer. So the department store model is really dead in the water. And if you look at, they, you know, all of the department stores in Canterbury closed apart from Fenwick's, and you know, everyone else has closed. Nason's, who were my landlords, as it happened, that's being redeveloped. Don't know what's going to happen to the Debenham store yet. There's
lots of talk, isn't there, about it?
There's some funny goings on in there. there's a golf course at the moment in there. I'm really not sure how that's working, but there you go. Nick, let Nick come in.
So, I mean, look, I get so distressed, actually, when I go to Canterbury. I've been living down or had a house down here for 21 years. And Canterbury was always a joy to go to, and I've just watched it being literally sucked into oblivion.
And it's just for even
the brands that are still there, that are these big powerful brands, they just because of my background and stuff, I can see they're replenishing on what they're selling. So they're not even offering something good for people to make people want to go there.
Yeah,
I mean, if God forbid somewhere like Fenwick's and M&S go, then I don't know what's going to happen there.
No, exactly. But that's what I was saying about Fenwick's. So I went in to get my husband, a new husband, a pair of jeans, and he's a very average size, 34 waist. I asked the chap, he said, I'll go downstairs. So he leaves me standing there like a lemon for about 15 minutes while he's searching some storeroom, and then came back and said, sorry, we haven't got a 34 waist, but you'll get it online, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
There's my shopping experience.
Yeah. I think Canterbury has a particular problem because there were so many big shops there. Whereas if you look at Tenterton, even though the rents and rates are high, and they are extortionately high, you're looking at smaller spaces, so it's more doable. I'm trying to rent a space at the moment, and you know, people are telling me for 1,000 square feet, they want 70,000 a year in rent. And I'm going, really? Really? Whereas in Canterbury, the buildings tend to be huge. Yeah, because they're, you know, old department stores and stuff like that. And your chances of renting those out are non-existent. And you're certainly not going to get new, funky, independent stores unless you make them into an indoor market or something. Yeah,
yeah. Which is what they might do.
Yeah, Nick?
Tell me if I'm wrong, but I heard, back in the day when Debenham was closed, I heard it was all going to be turned into living space.
Yeah.
Really? Well, that wouldn't surprise me.
Well,
The
plan next door to me, I own Fruitworks, which is just off the high street, uh-huh. and Nason's, the department store, was next door to us. The plan for that, which is already underway, is a shopping precinct at the ground level, uh-huh. Offices at the first floor level, and apartments on the top floor, which is a model that they copied from Bearcart Lane, which is the other side of us, yeah. And that was very successful. Mark Quinn, who did that, I think.
He did
a fantastic job on that. And I think you're going to have a very similar success with the old Nason store. What's going to happen to the and it's multi buildings as well. Debenhams isn't just one building. There's two or three buildings involved as well. I can't see much beyond turning that into apartments, if I'm really honest.
I think what you've got to be aware of, is the levelling up that they're talking about at the moment. This forced to auction if you don't let your shop within 6 months, if you're a landlord. Mm. Now, that is going to result in a bit of a Dutch auction where stuff goes down and down and down in price. Mm. And you're going to get permitted development rights, which are going to be appalling. And I am very, very nervous. I've got a spot next week on the all-party parliamentary group session on town centres. We'll be talking about that, and I'm going to sort of throw my boomerang into the room and see what happens. But it's all very well it going to apartments, but all the time the local planning authority hasn't got any recourse to make sure that what people do fits in with where they're going to be. You always, there's always a temptation that you're going to finish up with HMOs or whatever there, and it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be what we want in our town centres.
Yeah. This is always a danger, isn't it? That you know, you can think that something good's going to happen, but then whoever gets hold of it does something pretty rank with it. Just on that, while you were talking about that, on HMOs, I noticed a few local authorities are now starting to license HMOs. Yeah, and you actually have to have a license to operate a house of multiple occupation, which was something a bit new to me. So interesting. I guess that's another way that they're trying to control what happens. It's interesting because I'm the trustee of a charity and also the chair of their trading arm. And we own a number of buildings where we move. The charity is a residential charity for people with drink and drug addictions. And we have a move-on system where we put people into HMOs. And, of course, that's fundamental to what we do. And that's getting harder because it is being kind of, for want of a better word, clamped down on, you know, because some people have abused it. You know, the private landlords have abused it.
I think... Okay. Going back, sorry, before we finish, going back to the parking and what Nick was saying, I mean, I personally avoid going into Whitstable at the weekends now, cause, as a local, if I do go in, I'll walk. But you're right, if you're spending £2.40 an hour, then it's going to make you perhaps not stay for that lunch that you do. You're sort of rushing in and you don't want to chat with people because you're on a car park. Mm. And so all these things have to be taken into consideration, don't they, with the car parking?
I mean, I would, you know, if there's some way of maybe they can, it could be a sliding scale through the week. I appreciate weekends are busy and, they want to earn their money. But, you know, maybe just during the week when things are slightly quieter for everybody, that could be a draw to get more people in and, you know.
I think you're absolutely right, Nick. I think we've got both traders and local authorities have got to be a bit more innovative with some of these things. Jules and I were having a long rambling discussion with some of the local politicians from Canterbury City Council.
They mostly online. Blocked us, didn't they, on Twitter afterwards?
Well, eventually they told us to get lost, yeah. But well, I upset them a little bit because they said, why don't you use the park and ride? And I said, because you shut it. And they went, oh, yeah, shit.
That's right, I saw that, yeah.
And then I put my mother down, she's 91, for assisted dustbin collection, and they haven't managed to do that in a month, you know.
But in general, I would say personally, I just want to finish up getting everyone's feeling on this. I'm actually quite a bit more bullish than I was 18 months, 2 years ago about the future of the high street. I'm seeing a lot more localism, a lot more traders working together. In the way that they are in Whitstable and Canterbury. Sadly, we lost a lady called Debbie Barwick, who ran the Canterbury Independent Traders Association. Sadly, she passed away at Christmas, but she was a fantastic champion of trying to get small independent traders working together. But I am seeing more and more of that. I am seeing small independent shops come back to the high street and offer something different. And I think that's really what we need. And I'd just like to hear from everybody else before we finish up.
Yeah.
Nick.
Yeah.
Right. All right. okay. Well, yeah, like I've, you know, been saying the whole way through the programme, I just, you know, I think it's just about making towns individual and everybody getting together, which I really feel, as you said, Paul, that Whitstable has done. You know, the whole traders chat thing really works. We, you know, even down to the point where if there's someone that's not quite right in your store, then you can alert the other shops. Mm. There's a whole system going on. And yeah, there's a genuine community feeling. And I just hope it down the line, it will filter through to everywhere along the coast.
Are you seeing a Bobby at all? Have you got our local Bobby going in?
Oh, I can't say I've seen one in 2 weeks.
No, I used to be good friends with Andy Camp, our local Bobby, and I haven't seen him for a long time. But during lockdown, of course, they were everywhere because they were getting us, stopping us sitting on benches and things. But it'd be nice to see a local Bobby in the high street. And one thing I'll say before we close, before Paul closes off and Graham says, Canterbury, they've got these blimmin' e-scooters. So the pedestrianised cobbly bit that you walk down, you know, in your own little world, you've got these e-scooters whizzing along now in the pedestrian area, which gets my goat, Graham. What do you think?
Well, I find them an interesting dilemma. I think I'd probably go along with our police and crime commissioner on this. I don't think that they should be doing that. I was recently down in Southampton where they are legitimised. As they are in Canterbury now, aren't they, on a trial basis?
Yeah.
And they're a bee nuisance. You know, I'm used to being abused as a bicyclist, but I'm far more passive than somebody on an electric scooter, you know. And mind you, it's because I'm old now, but there you go. But seriously, yeah, I'm not all that keen, but what is, you know, like you, Paul, I am a lot more bullish about how towns are going to function because we've rediscovered them. We know that they're down the road. All the time we had COVID and we couldn't go, you know, to Bluewater or wherever, we've become re-engaged with our local town. Yeah. Now, there's going to be places where it's difficult. Ashford's, for example, where you've got a whole new incoming population, but where you've got a fairly static kind of situation, you know, there are plenty of towns like that. I mean, nothing ever happens in the Seven Oaks, does it? Oh, did I say that? I'm sorry. you've got places that are very established. Seven Oaks is a good example.
Tunbridge Wells and
Tunbridge Wells, yeah, all of that over West Kent.
Well, there's money there, though, Graham. It's a very affluent area. And if you go to places, I mean, during lockdown and after lockdown, we've discovered Hythe and Sandwich. Yes. And like Nick said, Deal, beautiful towns. Yeah. And Deal. Lovely old-fashioned shops and florists and, you know, really, really lovely. So, yeah. But maybe not quite as much money as you've got up. In-
but I tell you a surprise is you go to Sheerness and you take the time to walk around Sheerness and look at some of the shop fronts. And they are 1930s shop fronts with still with the sign writing on.
Beautiful.
And they are beautiful. And you I have no desire to go back to the 1950s because I was there and I know what it was like. But I do think that we do need to have original town centres with people, real people who care about where they live and what they buy and where they buy it.
Absolutely. I thank you, everyone. I think the message is that we're all quite bullish that things are improving, certainly from where they were a couple of years ago. And I think the overall message is we're seeing a rise in independent shops and eateries and entertainment. We're seeing much more localism in terms of people using those facilities and appreciating their high streets. And I think all of that's a good thing. So I want to say a huge thank you to our two guests, Nick Grossmark, owner of Shaw at 43 Whitstable High Street, to Graham Galpin, the place changer, and of course my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, Jill Serkin. Thank you all very much.
The three bullish men and the one cow. Thank you very much.
No, and we didn't say that. You're not allowed to say things like that. Anyway.
We had great fun doing that. We're going to talk about it in a minute, but first of all, we've got to join the newsroom. So let's go over to the newsroom, and then we'll chat about that in a moment.
This is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. Channel Radio News Update.